You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we're continuing a short series in Hebrews. We've already completed chapter 11, much of chapter 11, as we looked at many amazing examples of faith. Today, we pick up in chapter 12, where we left out last week, and we pick up with the topic of discipline. Discipline is not pleasant for those who are receiving it. I think we know that. However, though, the one who is giving discipline, if the discipline is given in a proper way with the right attitude, then the one who is giving the discipline is actually showing care and putting his love into action. Again, the one receiving it might not think so, but that is the attitude with which discipline should be given. Going to Hebrews chapter 12, picking up now in verse 4, the Bible says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him." You might recall from last week, the last verse that we looked at in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, it reminded us of Jesus and him being on his mission and all of the suffering that he endured at the hands of sinners. Did he give up? By no means. He went all the way to the end. He finished his work. He wants us to be inspired by that. He wants us to know that it won't be easy living as a Christian in this world, but he's calling us to endure. He's calling us to not give up no matter what. And then, to help us understand our sufferings a little bit, we are to remember who we are. We are God's holy children in Jesus Christ. And then, God calls us to respond when he disciplines us. Going on to verse 6 now in the Bible, it says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." I want you to take note here that word chastise, literally in the Greek, that is the word scourge. Think about Jesus being beaten within an inch of his life before he was crucified. What is the technical term for that? He was scourged. Try to think about that for a moment, that God loves us so much and God so desperately wants us to be with him forever that sometimes he would scourge us. Sometimes the discipline would be that harsh because he loves us that much in order to keep us in Jesus Christ. That's a tough thing to think about, but keep in mind the one doing the disciplining, when it's done properly, it's done in great love and it's done for a very important purpose. And then it goes on in the Bible and says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" So when we think about the word discipline, it doesn't sound very pleasant if we're on the end of being disciplined, but it is used by God and it is used by parents to show love and to show care. So what is discipline doing? Discipline isn't punishing, but rather discipline is guiding, instructing, training, educating. Now, sometimes for some people, they're a bit on the stubborn side. So if that's the case, sometimes the discipline has to be very strong. It has to be very severe. Nevertheless, so it is done in love and it's done for the good of the person. So when God is disciplining us in very strong and severe ways, let us remember how much he loves us. And then the Bible goes on to say, picking up in verse 8, if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Beside this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, talking about our earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but our heavenly Father, disciplines us for our good. Why? That we may share his holiness. So think about that for a moment with our parents. They did the best they could, but it was always imperfect because they are sinners and we're in a sinful world. When they disciplined us, we probably gave them, hopefully, a little bit of respect at the time. And hopefully, looking back now, we give them a lot more respect for the ways that they tried to love us through discipline. What about God our Father? He disciplines us in the very best ways. Dr. Kretzmann put it this way: his discipline to us is without fail, always to our advantage. He never makes a mistake in the kind and in the amount of suffering which he has us endure. Think about that. That's God's discipline to us. Let me read that one more time. His discipline to us is without fail, always to our advantage. He never makes a mistake in the kind and in the amount of suffering which he has us endure. So when we're suffering from the discipline of God, keep such things in mind. And then the Bible goes on and says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Think back for a moment to when you were being disciplined, let's say by a parent. If you can think back to that moment, did you enjoy it? I highly doubt that you did. I'm sure that I didn't enjoy when I was disciplined. However, though, another quote here from Dr. Kretzmann. He wrote, it is through that training of the Lord that our faith is rendered. Now, this is talking about the discipline of the Lord now, not our parents, even though that ties in too to some extent. It is through that training of the Lord that our faith is rendered pure, true, and precious, that we ourselves are thoroughly prepared, strengthened, and founded unto eternal salvation. So God wants a lot of things for us, but he especially wants us to be holy in his sight through Jesus Christ. And God is saying, I love all of you so much that I'm going to do whatever I have to do in order to keep you in my family, to keep you in my son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes God's discipline can be heavy upon us. That's a tough thing. However, though, let us rejoice that God is at work in our lives. Remember, I talked earlier that if God is not disciplining us, then we are illegitimate children. That's no good. That means we're not in the kingdom of God. So when he is at work, that should cause us to rejoice. Let us be certain that when he's at work in our lives, that means he loves us. And let us also know that he is at work to do whatever is best for us spiritually and eternally. Maybe sometimes we're hurting physically, but he's there to do whatever is best again spiritually and eternally. Those are the things that matter the most, and that's what God is doing in order to work in our lives. And then going further in our text, it says in verse 14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Think about us. We have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. So we are called to forgive all who sin against us. And it doesn't matter if they're sorry or not. It doesn't matter if they deserve the forgiveness or not. Because God has forgiven us, we are called to freely forgive them. And we are called to try to be at peace with them. Also, knowing that we must be holy in God's sight, there's no other way to be with God forever other than being holy in His sight. We have that through Jesus Christ. So let us be thankful that now we are in Christ. And God is saying here, and He also said in today's gospel reading, He said it's important that we strive and we struggle in order to continue to be sorry for our sins and that we continue to embrace Christ as our only Savior. It might sound funny that I'm saying we have to do it, because some Bible passages say we can do nothing and God does everything. And that is true too in a sense, but once God brings us to Christ, now we're able to cooperate with God. So God is at work to keep us in Christ, and He's also calling us to cooperate with that work in order to keep us in Jesus Christ. And then God calls us to pay attention to the spiritual needs of ourself and to others. So it goes on here in verse 15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. What's that all about there? It's kind of a tough section. Well, we know that the grace of God is salvation. However, for those who do not obtain grace, or for those who have it and squander it, we know the result is damnation. These are serious things God wants us to realize. We don't want damnation for anyone, not for ourselves or for anyone else, that's for sure. So what is God doing here? God is giving us some words of warning, and He's saying, pay attention to yourselves, pay attention to others, and notice if there happens to be a turn in a person's life, even in our own lives, from the Word of God, from respecting the Word of God and knowing that is best, seeing a turn over to ourselves, thinking that somehow we know better than the Word of God, and we're going to go in our own direction and forget about the Word of God. He's saying, watch for such a turn, pay attention, because if it happens, it's a very serious matter. What happened with Esau? We see the picture here. So with Esau, he's mentioned as an example. To him, there came a moment in his life where a single meal was more important to him than being in the bloodline of the Messiah. So he squandered that important thing in order to get that meal. That was more important to him. And then the Bible is saying here that later on, Esau realized the great blessing he had given up, so he desired to gain it back. And he tried to gain it back even with tears. He wanted it so bad, and yet the Bible says he was rejected. It doesn't mean he was rejected for eternal life, but it meant that he squandered that blessing and he was never going to get it back again. Some people lose blessings in this life when they don't pay attention to God. Some people lose blessings forever and ever when they don't pay attention to God. God wants us to know it's a very serious thing to pay attention to Him and what His Word says. And then we come to the final part here, and we see a contrast between the terror of God and the forgiveness of God. In these first words I'm going to read here, they're describing the scene on Mount Sinai when the Israelites received the Ten Commandments. Think about how terrifying it was for all the people and even for Moses himself. The Bible says, "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches a mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." Let's understand that without God's love in Christ, every one of us should truly be trembling. It says in Hebrews 10, it says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, meaning to reject Christ, and yet someday we're going to be in the hands of God, and to be in the hands of the Almighty God without Jesus Christ, that should be a truly terrifying thing. Let me put it this way, it will be a terrifying thing for those people who find themselves in the hands of God apart from Jesus Christ. God wants them to know now that it will be terrifying so they don't find themselves in that situation someday. But there is good news, though. The good news is that God loves us. The good news is that God has saved us through the holy, precious blood of Jesus. And the good news is that God has promised us a wonderful eternity. God cares for us much, much more deeply than we will ever understand. He wants us to see that. He wants us to be thankful for it. And he wants us to respond by showing care for others. And then coming to the final part of the text here, these words I'm going to read, they identify the dwelling place of God, and they identify those people who are with God in that wonderful place. We're going to hear mention in this reading about Jesus, the holy angels, and those believers who died knowing Jesus Christ. We pray that God will one day grant us to be in that number. The Bible says, "But you have come to Mount Zion." In other words, the contrast here, we haven't come to this mountain where we are terrified, but we have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You might remember where it tells us in the Bible that when Cain killed his brother Abel, when he murdered him, then the blood of Abel was crying out from the ground to God for vengeance, to bring that upon his brother Cain. What about the blood of Jesus? What is it crying out? It's crying out to God, saying, "God, pronounce these people righteous by grace through faith, pronounce them righteous who are trusting in me and the blood I shed for them." God wants us to know that only by the holy blood of Christ are we righteous in his sight, are we forgiven, are we in God's family, we are his children, and so many other blessings. For those who are rejecting Christ, and we know there are many in the world today in that category, for those who are rejecting Christ, let us care about them by sharing God's law. Sometimes God needs to terrify them in order to get their attention. So let's share God's law with them in a loving and yet a serious way. And then for those who know Christ, what can we do? That's much more fun. Let us encourage them with the good news that in Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we are God's holy children. In Christ we are blessed now and forever. Thinking about our challenge for today, let's know that the Lord cares for us. He has taken great action in Christ. He continues to take great action every day in order to show his care for us. So may God help us to pay attention to other people, to see what their needs are, and then, as we are able, let us take action. Let us show care for them. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for deeply caring for us. We pray that you would move us to pay attention to others and then to show much care for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.